the time that you are in kindergarten through 12th grade, a lot of that is learning to learn, right? You have to be able to learn how to learn. That's when you need the well-rounded education. When we talk higher education, I think over the years it has become for higher education, well, it's just K through 12, but it's now more expensive and now you're an adult, right? That's really not what it should be. It should be directed more specifically to a career path. And I think that's what we need to see higher education move to, not just an extension of your 12th grade year, but actually preparing you for a future in the world of the job market.
By the way, did you know about modernizing education? And welcome back to, by the way, did you know? And this week is, we're kind of in the budget cycle now, and this week we really focus a lot on the education side of the governor's proposal. We met with the PASHE schools, which are our state universities. We met with the state-related, like Penn State, Temple, Pitt, and Lincoln. But we also met with the Department of Education on Monday. So really had an opportunity to go through all of the governor's proposal from kindergarten on up through post-secondary education. So with me today, I thought it'd be good to have well-known podcaster, former member of the Appropriations Committee, and now current chairman of the Education Committee.
The best intro I've got in quite a
while.
The
Jesse Topper.
Pretty exciting. It's good to be here on By the Way, Did You Know? And it's been great to be back. The difference being, for those of you who don't know, being a standing chairman versus being on the committee is I only have to be down here for the budget hearings that affect the committee. So, we're recording this on Wednesday, last one, and I will leave it now into the appropriations capable hands. But it was good to be back down with you guys. And I think it was good to hear some of the administration's views, as well as some of our institutions of higher education's views on what we need to change.
Thomas Kutz is here too. Hey, Topper, how's it going?
I was like, yeah. So the new guy,
We also are joined here by a newer member of the Appropriations Committee, Thomas Kutz, who is from this neck of the woods. He's been on the podcast before. So welcome back, Thomas.
Thanks, Torin, for having me. And welcome, Jesse, to, by the way, did you know, the House GOP Superior Podcast.
No. What he doesn't know is Topper's been on this before.
Right. It's
so
fine. Listen, rookie mistake. We like, making sure our freshman members, feel like freshmen. And it's fun. And Torin and I had to go through this.
That's right. And that's just part of the fun up here, right? You got to lighten it up every now and then. So Jesse, we're kind of wrapping up the education portion of the budget hearings. What's your big takeaway this week?
Well, the governor's being very cautious. It's clear in his approach. He didn't come out with any bold proposals, even though we certainly have the impetus to be bold with the court decision around the funding formula. But it was clear to me that Governor Shapiro, and as we heard from the Secretary of Education specifically on Monday, very cautious, very vague. A lot of, hey, we'll talk about it. Hey, we'll see. And look, I understand that. Like, these are big decisions we're going to have to make. I choose to take a different route, from a Republican caucus standpoint of the Education Committee, and myself particularly. We're going to be talking about issues. We're going to be putting issues out there like potential integration of districts, trying to expand the tax base. We're going to talk about teacher merit pay. We're going to talk about money following students. We're going to talk about possible year-round school. And that's not to say that that's going to be every issue is going to be endorsed by every member, but you have to have these discussions now because we have to reimagine education in this state. The system's broken. The courts have told us it's broken, but we didn't need the courts to tell us that. All of our constituents, the stakeholder groups, from teachers to administrators, certainly to the families and the kids, understand that the system is not working as effectively as it needs to meet constitutional muster. So it's our job to fix it.
Yeah, and I always talk about how we need to modernize our education system, and I think the time is right to do that. The courts have pretty much put that in our lap as well, and here we are. And I think you're bringing some new ideas to the table to have a conversation about them and see if we want to change how we educate our kids.
We're talking about a system from the 40s and 50s, right? The desks in a row, the everything that we do, or even some of our pedagogy that we're teaching in the classrooms. It's time to move. It's time to adapt. And we see the need for it, but government moves so slow. And these are, at the end of the day, many of them government-run schools. And so we have to be able to try and give them the flexibility to adapt.
And Thomas, so, you're new to the committee. What is your takeaway this week from these committees is kind of coming with a fresh perspective?
Well, Torin, I think what I've seen most is you're coming in with kind of a wish list from some of these department heads and testifiers who say, here's what we want. And the governor kind of has his own list. And now we have to decipher, based on the governor and the testifiers, what we're actually going to do when it comes time to negotiate the budget.
So, and to that point, we noticed on Monday when the Secretary of Education was here that he really wanted to dodge a lot of questions, especially the school choice argument, because it's clear that the governor is on the campaign trail, was supportive of school choice. I think at one point he even acknowledged that Lifeline scholarships were a good idea. But the Secretary of Education really didn't seem to want to go down that road. He really gave a lot of platitudes and really pivoted a lot of those conversations back to the governor for those conversations.
And look, he's a new secretary, right? This is someone who's a superintendent. Dr. Mumin was a superintendent. Lower Merion, one of the wealthy suburban districts in our Commonwealth, and then in the city of Reading, in the Reading School District, which is one of the more difficult, impoverished school districts. And he is I believe from the work that I've seen, he's a very good superintendent, but this is not a superintendency. You know, you're part of a cabinet position now, and you could tell he was really feeling his way through those questions. I understand that. Look, a lot of us are trying to identify where do we want to go as a General Assembly. But at the end of the day, the task forces, the studies, the commissions. We've done that in education now for the past 25 years. It's time for real action.
Yeah, we've overstudied everything forever. It's time to actually develop policy and push it forward. So part of this week also, we talked a lot with post-secondary education, which is absolutely something we need to look at in this state and how we fund and get folks into high-demand, high-needed jobs here in the state of Pennsylvania. So Thomas, you know, what's your takeaway after meeting with the state-related, which is like Penn State, Temple, those organizations, and then today where we met with the Pashi schools, which is your Shippensburg, Millersville-type schools?
Well, look, what we had was yesterday we had the state-related presidents come in and say we need hundreds of millions more in money, and by the way, we're also going to raise tuition. And then what we heard today from the Pashi chancellor was, if you give me 3.8%, I do not have to raise tuition, and that is it. And Representative Warner asked him point blank yesterday, all four of the university presidents were asked, if you get the 7% increase that the governor's proposing, will you freeze tuition? Every single one of them said no. And I think that's one of the biggest problems we face in our country today, is that college affordability is the lowest it's ever been. People are coming out with six figures of debt, and we have to find a way to do it. And as a legislature, as we invest in education, we need to invest in systems that are going to keep costs low for students while putting them in positions to succeed with Pennsylvania family-sustaining jobs.
In fact, in case of one Pashi school, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, I also believe it was East Stroudsburg, actually lowered tuition. First time that a school has lowered tuition, reduced it for students. So I think we're seeing that system, to Thomas's point, we're on the road to a more sustainable path for our kids who want that affordability.
And these schools are the ones that are educating our teachers, our accountants, our nurses, and they're staying in Pennsylvania. I think approximately 70% of folks that graduate from these Pashi schools are staying in Pennsylvania for at least 5 years or more.
And look, Torin, the other thing is 90% of students at Pashi schools are in-state Pennsylvania residents before they attend. The state average for the state-related is about 65%. So we have one system that is educating Pennsylvania students and keeping them in Pennsylvania to work Pennsylvania jobs, and then we have another that's not doing the same. And the state-related, I mean, Penn State came in and asked for a 38% increase from last year's funding, and they still wouldn't freeze tuition.
So not to be lost in all this, also, we met with the community colleges in FIA yesterday. What's your takeaway from that, Representative Topper?
Well, those are the community colleges. I have one in my district. That is the pathway to certification. It's the pathway even to certain four-year degrees to be able to get into the mix. I took community college classes out of school. That's what kind of set me on my path. And it's especially important for first-generation students. So they play a great role. FIA plays a tremendous role in helping to make it affordable in the grants. And we found that. I don't think that's changed, and I think people will acknowledge that. I think they see that, and I think they know it's a part of the overall higher education picture. Look, the governor has said He flat out in his first day, when he had the executive order eliminating the need for 4-year degrees for a lot of state jobs, he came out and said, we need to rethink higher education. It's not about a 4-year degree, which usually right now takes 6 years and $200,000 worth of debt and a degree in Roman pottery. Like, this is not what higher education should be. Our community colleges are part of the answer. Trade schools and certifications are part of the answer. Getting people directly into the workforce is part of the answer. And then what we're doing in terms of our 4-year degrees and post 4-year degrees and making them more accessible and, quite frankly, more relevant in today's market. That's part of the answer as well.
So, Jesse, the interesting thing about what you just said is we have all of those opportunities for alternative pathways to a 4-year degree, and it doesn't really seem like the governor's budget focuses as much on them as it does on other more expensive alternatives. So in my mind, I'd like to see more investment in community colleges, more investment in career and technical education to get students out of college and get them to work without having crippling debt that will stay with them for decades.
As we reimagine public education K through 12, that will include a massive investment and expansion of career and tech education. It will. It has to.
Yeah, I questioned the chancellor from Pitt yesterday that they had this unproportionate amount of students that are coming in undeclared, and he even himself mentioned that, you know, these kids are coming from high school and don't know what they want to do with their lives. Meanwhile, you go 2 semesters, you're $50,000 in debt, you know, year one, and you have no idea, no plan to do where
Listen,
you're heading.
You guys are young guys, right? Your kids, if you have them, are young, correct? Okay, I have one that's 16.
You're on
so
the
like
cusp.
I'm starting to think about that. Here's my message to my two teenage boys. If you don't know what you want to do before you go to school, you're not going.
And that's right.
Can go out, get a job, and figure it out. Now, when you realize what you want to do and that requires whatever it requires, then let's go for it. But, you know, I think we're going to see more non-traditional students because I think the message from parents needs to be, unless you know why you're going, unless you know the why, then we're not doing this. Like, there's other pathways available.
Yeah,
unless he's playing golf at a Division I school, and then he can do whatever he wants.
Which is obviously, that's the plan, right?
That's a plan for dad. You know, I don't know if it's a plan for them. But, yeah, look, a couple of good days. I think it got the appropriations hearings off to a good start. I really appreciate the work that you guys do. This is, to me, when I was on appropriations, this is where you really develop your knowledge about state government and the state budgets. So good luck to you guys the rest of the way.
Yeah, and thank you, Representative Topper and Representative Cutts, for being on. And by the way, did you know, I'm sure Topper will be making his appearance sometime soon on Generally Assembled, which, you know, those guys like to say they're the best podcast. It's a good podcast. I've been on it, but I like what we do here, too.
Yeah, Torin, I don't think there's any question about that, and that's the exciting part, and we'd be glad to have Representative Topper back anytime.
Yeah, and we don't want to blast, you know, Grove Unleashed here because he is our appropriations chairman, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely. I'll be back whenever you guys want.
This has been By the Way, Did You Know? Tune in for all of my podcasts at repecker.com/mypodcast.